I stood up and stalked into the house, crossed to the stairs, and went up them. The upstairs hallway had a bunch of bedrooms off it, with the oldest children's rooms being at the opposite end of the hall from the master bedroom, the younger children being progressively closer to Mom and Dad. I looked inside each room. They were all empty, though the two nearest the head of the stairs had been torn up pretty well. Broken toys and shattered child-sized furniture lay everywhere. If I hadn't been looking for it, I wouldn't have noticed the extra space between the linen closet and the master bedroom. I checked the closet in the master bedroom and turned up nothing. Then I opened the door to the linen closet and found the shelves in complete disarray, sheets and towels and blankets strewn on the floor. I hunkered down and held up my mother's amulet, peering closely, and then found a section of the back wall of the closet just slightly misaligned with the corner it met. I reached out and touched that part of the wall, closed my eyes, extending my senses through my fingertips. I felt power there. It wasn't a ward, or at least it was unlike any ward I had ever encountered. It was more of a quiet hum of constant power, and was similar to the power I'd felt stirring around Michael on several occasions, the power of faith. There was a form of magic protecting that panel. "Lashiel," I murmured quietly, "you getting this?" She did not appear, but her voice rolled through my thoughts. "Yes, my host, angelic work," I exhaled. "Real angels?" "Aye, Raphael, or one of his lieutenants from the feel of it." "Dangerous?" There was an uncertain pause. "It is possible. You are touched by more darkness than my own, but it is meant to conceal the room beyond, not to strike out at an intruder." I took a deep breath and said, "Okay." Then I reached out and rapped hard on the panel 3 times. I thought I heard a motion, weight shifting on the floorboard. I knocked again.
"Charity?"
I called.
"It's Harry Dresden."
This time the motion was definite. The panel clicked, then rolled smoothly to one side, and a double-barreled shotgun slid out, aimed right at my chin. I swallowed and looked down the barrel. Charity's cold blue eyes faced me from the other end of the gun.
"You might not be the real Dresden," she said.
"Sure I am."
"Prove it," she said. Her tone was quiet, balanced, deadly.
"Charity, there's no time for this. You want me to show you my driver's license?"
"Bleed," she said instead, which was a good point. Most of the things who could play doppelganger did not have human plumbing or human blood. It wasn't an infallible test by any means, but it was as solid as anything a non-wizard could use for verification. So I pulled out my penknife and cut my already mangled left hand just a little. I couldn't feel it in any case. I bled red and showed her. She stared at me for a long second, and then eased the hammers on the shotgun back down, set the weapon aside, and wriggled out of the space beyond the panel. I saw a candle lit back there. The rest of the carpenter children, sans Molly, were inside. Alicia was sitting up, awake, her eyes worried. The rest were sacked out.
"Molly," she said once she'd gained her feet. "Daniel.
I found him hiding in the treehouse," I said. "He's hurt."
She nodded once.
"How badly?"
"Bruised up pretty good. Groggy, but I don't think he's in immediate danger. Mouse and a friend of mine are with him."
Charity nodded again, features calm and remote, eyes cold and calculating. She had a great, cool-headed act going, but it wasn't perfect. Her hands were trembling badly, fingers clenching and unclenching arrhythmically.
"And Molly?"
"I haven't found her yet," I said quietly. "Daniel might know what happened to her."
"Were they Denarians?"
she asked.
I shook my head. "Definitely not."
"Is it possible that they may return?"
I shrugged.
"It isn't likely."
"But possible?"
"Yes."
She nodded once, and her voice had the quality of someone thinking aloud.
"Then the next thing to do is to take the children to the church. We'll make sure Daniel is cared for. I'll try to send word to Michael, and then we'll find Molly."
"Charity,"
I said. Wait. Charity thrust the heel of her hand firmly into my chest and pushed my shoulders back against the opposite wall. Her voice was quiet and very precise. My children are vulnerable. I'm taking them to safety. Help me or stand aside. Then she turned from me and began bringing her children out. Alicia helped as much as she could, her studious features tired and worried. But the littlest ones were sleepy to the point of hibernation and remained limp as dish rags. I pitched in, picking up little Harry and Hope, carrying one on each hip. Charity's expression flashed briefly with both worry and thanks, and I saw her control slip. Tears formed in her eyes. She closed them again, jaw clenched, and when she looked up, she had regained her composure. Thank you, she said. Let's move, I replied, and we did. Tough lady. Very tough. We'd had our differences, but I had to respect the proud core of her. She was the kind of mother you read about in the paper, the kind who lifts a car off of one of her kids. It was entirely possible that I'd just killed her oldest daughter. If Charity knew that, if she knew that I'd put her children in danger, she'd murder me. If Molly had been hurt because of me, I'd help.